You've had a busy week in Parliament. One of the things that was taken care of during the week was the media bargaining code. We saw what happened last week with Facebook when they banned all Australian media content. There's been a compromise that's been made, and the media bargaining code laws actually went through both houses during the week, so it's now law.
It is law, and it stops these big businesses, these multinationals, from coming in and stealing all our content that our good journalists like yourself do, Martin, each week, day in, day out. So, no, the big boys can't push us around any longer. And I thought it was disgusting the way that Facebook shut down sites. We had a number of, you know, the Kids Cancer Ward site and in Melbourne, you know, that was shut down. Just absolutely despicable. It's not on, and we need to get some legislation around that.
The Treasurer hasn't been too forthcoming on the details. We know there's been a compromise. We know that Facebook are going to pay for some content, but we don't know the detail of it. But despite that, it's gone through Parliament now, so it's law.
Yes, and Josh Frydenberg did leave some room to manoeuvre outside the code so that they were able to negotiate directly with media outlets. So we haven't been too prescriptive, but we have made them, we have drawn a line in the sand with that legislation and made them toe the line.
Okay, I haven't heard a call from Mr. Zuckerberg yet to tell me how much he's going to pay for my content, but I won't hold my breath on that one.
He'll shut you down before you know about it.
Yeah, probably. Something else that I know you're happy about because you're a farmer, and that is that the federal government are going to increase funding for agricultural degrees, and that's really important to Tasmania, isn't it?
It is good, and it's not just agricultural degrees, but it's degrees around STEM. So what we've done as a government is we've looked at post-COVID what the economy is doing, what jobs are going to be required, you know, later on, and we've tried to match the incentives around university courses with those demands in the workforce. So we're saying that we'd rather if someone's going to, you know, study philosophy or ancient Greek, we'd rather them do an IT degree at the same time. We've bolstered that in with our Cradle Coast campus of UTAS and that big spend that we've got in there, that great investment we're making into the Northwest, and that's focusing on nursing degrees. So our young people from right across the coast will be able to complete their nursing degree right in Burnie. So that's where we're at with this funding.
And with agriculture too, science is creeping in now. You've got, you know, robotic dairies, and you've got drones being commonly used and GPS and all that sort of stuff. So there's always something happening in new developments, isn't there?
Yes, Martin, there is. And the other thing around it is agriculture is so diverse, and you've only got to look at the diversity of our agricultural exports, particularly along the northwest coast here. We're seeing a more corporatised model when it comes to agriculture. So, their margins are fairly slim, and we've got a huge capital investment when it comes to agriculture. So we need to get the very best return on that capital expenditure that we possibly can. And we feel that we can do that by introducing some great people to some great courses and having them have a great career in agriculture, because no longer, Mark, is agriculture something to be viewed on as something you do as a last resort. We want our brightest, our young people, our entrepreneurs, you know, to take up agriculture as a great way forward and a great career.
Yeah, once upon a time, they said it was real work if you got dirt under your fingernails, but these days, with all the science involved, you can probably avoid that.
You've got to have your head around the tech.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Now, the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, is actually coming to the coast on Monday. What's he up to?
Well, we've got some announcements around our increased spend in our safety nets and also in our increased spend when it comes to trying to get people into work. TAFE courses, training, uni courses, that spend, that recovery that we're going to have as a nation will be jobs-led. And we need to put all the protections, all the support that we can around making sure that, you know, people have the best access to getting a job. We want to see more people in jobs and contributing to that springboard as we springboard out of this COVID economic crisis.
Okay, I'm sure more will become clearer on Monday when he gets here. There was some funding announced recently for surf lifesaving clubs, and you were probably a nipper, were you, at one stage? Did you go?
No, I never got near the water much, Martin, right. For a very good reason. But Gee, they do a fantastic job right up and down the coast. We've got 14 clubs in Tasmania, and half of them are in the electorate of Braddon.
I know. Yeah.
Too short a time this afternoon to name them all, but we've doubled the amount of funding that they can apply for. So that was $5,000. Now it's gone to 10. So they've got a lot to fork out for. You know, they've got to run their little inflatable dinghies and things that they've got, and then the resuscitation equipment. They've got to do training. But they do a fantastic job. It's not just the role that they do as surf life-saving participants. It's the community good that it does.
Yeah.
Getting young people on the right track, giving them good role models to work with. I can't speak highly enough about our life-saving clubs well up and down the coast, and I'm glad that we're able to help out a little bit more.
Indeed. On an aquatic theme as well, the Port of Burnie has been listed as part of Infrastructure Australia's priority list, which is important. We've been known for a while now that the port needs upgrading, and it's just a matter of now that it's on the list. Does that get it any closer to the funding?
Yeah, it does. And in fact, when I have to go in and bring that money for that $40 million forward for the middle loader in Burnie, they recognised straight away that Burnie was an important port. You know, 55% of Tasmania's container freight comes through the Port of Burnie. And if you combine Burnie Port with Devonport Port, 97% of Tasmania's freight comes through those two ports.
Yeah.
5 million tonnes comes through Burnie each year. So, you know yourself, Martin, looking down there, the diversity of what we're dealing with. You know, we've got our wood chips come out of there. We've got up to 250,000 tonnes of wood chips that are stacked up there in that mountain of wood chips. We've got to get rid of those. We've got minerals coming out of the West Coast directly into there. They've got to be stored, sorted, kept dry and loaded. As well as that, you've got, as I said, 55% of Tasmania's freight coming in through there. A huge investment with our two largest sister ships in the Victorian Reliance 2 and the Achiever 2, the two toll boats, or ships I should say, coming through there, and that capability is only going to increase because our exports are going to increase. You know, we're saying that our minerals, our forestry, our agricultural products, our advanced manufacturing, getting goods in and out of Tasmania through Burnie is absolutely paramount, and we've recognised that with this listing.
Well, I don't think anyone argues that point, but now that it's on the list, how sooner does that mean it can happen? Are we looking, 2 or 3, 5 years, 10 years? How far ahead, Gavin?
Oh, well, I'm not Nostradamus, but what I would like to do is to make this an absolute priority. So every time that we look at this, every time that this is flagged, Burnie's right up there as a priority. The other thing I'd like to mention, Martin, is that investment that Toll's made, and not just Toll, but all our operators. So Toll, with those two 210, I think they are, metre long vessels, they've also put a great stack of money. I think it was $4 or $5 million they put into the ship to shore recharging system, so they wouldn't have to leave the things idling while they were loading. You've got Chas Kelly up there in Devonport. He's about to bring an interim vessel in that's 211 metres long. All this capability, these guys are adding confidence to industry, and it's through our ports that we unlock industry and grow jobs on the coast.
Yep, well, we look forward to some action starting there in the not-too-distant future, hopefully. Gavin, thanks for your time this afternoon. As always, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Good on you, Martin. Thank you.